I want to thank the Lord for that song, the special music that was just sung. It is the perfect song to lead into the sermon. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. I will sing of the goodness of God. And that's what we're looking at from God's Word today. We're in Psalm 23. If you please have your Bibles open. I would like you to follow along as we go. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the seat back in front of you. If you're using one of the red Bibles there, it will be on page 430, and the blue Bible, 525. This is the second part of Psalm 23. I preached the first part of it last Sunday, and if you're wondering who I am, I'm the associate pastor. Our pastor and his family, they are in Ireland right now. They'll be coming back later this week, so we want to pray for them for safe travel. But we are working through a Psalm of David, Psalm 23, probably one of the best-known psalms in the Bible. For countless people down through the ages, this has been a comfort. And David here, writing this song, he is singing about the goodness of God, the goodness of God to him. And I hope as we look through it, we see how God has been good to all of us. So I want to begin simply by reading. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Father in heaven, as we look into your word this morning, we read this song that King David wrote to you, expressing great truths about you. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here today can truthfully say that you, Lord, are my shepherd. And we consider ourselves to be your sheep, that we would follow you as a sheep follows its shepherd. Lord, teach us truths from your word. I pray for those that are here today that need encouragement. I pray that you would encourage them through your word. Lord, for those who may need their faith to be strengthened, Father, strengthen their faith through your word. Lord, for those of us who may need to start following you again more closely, use your word to convict us and to lead us back into your gracious arms. Be with us today as we hear from you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we made our way through the first three verses, and David is saying here, he's expressing in this psalm that he is content with God. And we mentioned that, as it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Actually, in the Hebrew, it says Yahweh is my shepherd. Yahweh, the name of God, because God was a personal God to David. God knew who David was, King David, and David knew who Yahweh God was. And David is confessing, Yahweh is my shepherd. Speaks of a relationship here. He leads, the Lord leads. What does it say in verse 2? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And that's the relationship David had with God. God led him, and David followed. He provides. We talked about how he provided the food that David needed, the water, the rest, the comfort, the assurance that he needs. God provides for us. We trust him. God leads us to what is best for us. He always leads us in ways that are right. And he begins in verses 1 through 3 telling us about Yahweh God. He is the shepherd. We are his sheep. And there's a little change of style when we get down to verse 4, and that's where we'll pick up this morning. He switches from talking about Yahweh God in the first three verses. Now he begins talking to Yahweh God. Because in the first couple of verses, it was he, Yahweh does this, he does this. Now it is you, Lord God. Verse 4, what does David tell us? What is he saying to God? Verse 4, a familiar verse. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yea, I learned this in the King James, you probably did too. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What is the valley of the shadow of death? I was there once out west, Death Valley. No, that's not it. Not Death Valley. A valley in the Bible often represents trouble, hardship, danger, distress. We consider ourselves maybe to be going through a valley when we're in trials, the trials of life, or testing, or challenges. For David, the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. So there's evil in the valley. There's danger. There are challenges. And in the Bible, we have several valleys of the shadow of death. There was the valley of Elah in the Old Testament, which is the valley where David faced off with Goliath. And there was danger in that valley, the danger of death. There's the valley of Achor we read about, I believe, in Judges, where Joshua is leading the nation of Israel. And that is a valley of trouble and judgment against them. There's the Kidron Valley in Jerusalem itself. And we read as King David's son, Absalom, was trying to kill him and take over the throne of Israel, David fled through the valley, the Kidron Valley, a time of trouble, danger. And then also just outside Jerusalem, there's the Valley of Hinnom, known as Gehenna. A place was this city dump. There's always burning, always smoldering. It was a picture of hell. And so David says, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, when I'm in life's darkest times, when I'm going through extreme hardship, life-threatening situations, I will fear no evil. Some of you have been in the valley of the shadow of death, perhaps faced with death itself. Some of you may right now be in the valley of the shadow of death. What happens, what goes through our minds when the doctor tells you you have terminal cancer? Are we in the valley of the shadow of death when your child dies? Maybe you have been at one time on a literal battlefield of war with bullets flying past your head, valley of the shadow of death. Maybe trapped in rising floodwaters with no escape, valley of the shadow of death, lost outdoors in a huge blizzard, a real possibility that your life may be ending or that you're going to have to live the rest of your life in dire or devastating situations for the rest of your life. The valley of the shadow of death. Thank you, Lord. I have never traveled in that valley. But many of you have. Some of you are today. King David, as he writes this later in his life, he had been through the valley of the shadow of death many times. When he met Goliath there on the battlefield, and Goliath, the giant, the warrior, the huge, unbeatable humanly unbeatable foe, Goliath yells at him, David, just a young man, come to me, he says. Goliath says, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. I'm going to kill you. David's son Absalom again pronounced himself king of Israel and tried to kill David. King Saul. Before David became king, he was serving King Saul, and twice in a fit of rage, King Saul threw his spear at David, said to pin him to the wall, to kill him. And before David became king of Israel, he led the armies of Israel in battle against all their enemies, the Philistines and all of the others. In those days, as today, you're on the battlefield, there's the chance of death every single day. And then right before he became king, before the Lord made David king, King Saul for years spent his time trying to hunt down David to kill him. So David was frequently living in the valley of the shadow of death. How did David react in those life-threatening events? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In the face of death, David says, I'm not afraid. Man, David must have been one of the biggest, baddest, toughest dudes not to fear. No, not at all. Why in the face of death did David fear no evil? He tells us why he didn't fear. For you are with me. You, Yahweh God, in any dangerous situation that I'm in, you are with me. David is expressing his faith in the providence and the sovereignty of God. Even when times are bad, when times are horrible, nothing can harm David that the Lord himself does not ordain or bring to pass himself. There are many passages in the Bible that express this very same truth. Psalm 56, verse 4, in God I have put my trust, I will not fear what flesh or what man can do unto me. Psalm 118, verse 6, Yahweh is on my side, I will not fear, what can man do to me? Hebrews 13, 6, in the New Testament, so that we may boldly say, Yahweh is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Genesis 15, 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And the Lord, Yahweh, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake you, fear not, neither be dismayed. Fear not. How many times is that written in your Bible? Fear not. Now, the popular saying is it's written 365 times, once for every day of the year. That's not accurate. It's actually in King James, it's written 63 times. But we are told over and over again, if the Lord God is your God, if you are in a right relationship with him, you need not fear any evil because the Lord is with you. And that's what David is saying here. So just think about your life. Whenever you're going through troubling circumstances, are you fearful? Are you a fearful person? Now, some people are just naturally fearful, naturally anxious. My grandmother was that way. I remember when I was 8 years old, we went to a convenience store. Grandpa went inside, and he was probably in there 2 minutes, and she was worrying if he was okay. Is he okay? He's been a long time. I looked at my grandma and said, Grandma, you're just a worrywart. Worrywart. She was anxious, worried. But when we go through troubling circumstances, are you fearful, anxious, depressed? In those hard times, as you have those feelings, are you reminding yourself that my God is with me? I'm not alone. God knows what's happening to me. He's allowed this to happen to me, and he is with me. And as I see, that's the only way we can make it through the valley of the shadow of death without being discouraged or fearful. Again, in Hebrews, he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, if. There's a big if there. God will never leave you, he will never forsake you, if you are one of his sheep. Bible's very clear. Jesus himself was clear. Not everyone is a sheep of God. We become a sheep of God when we trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior. When we are born again, redeemed to God through Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, by trusting in what he did on the cross to forgive us of our sins, we turn to God. He becomes our shepherd. He makes us a child of God. And if we are a sheep of his shepherd, we need never fear. We need never give up because our shepherd is always with us. How does David put it at the end of verse 4? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is a rod and a staff? Well, those are tools that a shepherd would use. The rod was a sturdy stick that could be used as a weapon. Drive away wolves and other animals, other people intent on harming or stealing or eating the sheep. The rod was used to protect the sheep from danger. God is able to protect you in every situation. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is able to protect you in every situation? Are you trusting God to protect you in every situation? Or are you constantly worrying and fearful about it? Do you trust that God knows what's best for you? When he should deliver you from evil? And when to let you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? To walk through the flames of affliction and hardship to teach us what we need to know and to teach us to depend on him, not just look to ourselves. So he uses his rod to protect us from evil, your rod and your staff. The staff? That's if you have a nativity display at your house, you probably have one of the shepherds with the long stick with a hook on the end, a crook on the end. The shepherd would use that to reach out and grab the sheep when he couldn't reach it, to pull it out of danger, like if it fell into a creek or down the edge of a cliff. But it's just to bring it back to the rest of the flock out of danger. Wednesday night, Larry, I was talking to Larry about the sermon, and he said, I can't wait for you to get to the part about the hook, the staff. Has God ever had to use his staff in your life? You know, in the old days, us old folks remember the vaudeville show or whatever, where people would be up on the stage singing and dancing, and you see out from behind the curtain comes this hook, and they drag the person off the stage. Well, you know, sometimes God has to use his staff to pull us back into the way. We can wander. We can get ourselves into danger. Has God ever had to use his staff on you to keep you from wandering too far from him or to rescue you when you got yourself in trouble? The staff and the rod is a sign of his love for you. He won't let you wander away to ruin your life or to ruin the life of others. What does David say about God's rod and his staff? He says, they comfort me. They comfort me. David was comforted knowing that God would use every means at his disposal, whatever was necessary, to protect David, to guide David as David followed God, or even as he strayed from God. Is there something in your life right now, maybe, that God is using to turn you away from self-destruction? To turn you back into the paths of righteousness. See, in this song again, it's a song that was sung this morning. God is so, so good. All my life he has been faithful. That's what David is saying here. David is saying, I'm content, I'm cared for, I'm confident of God's love and provision for me. Do you today have the assurance that God loves you? That he's watching over you, that he's directing your steps, that he cares about you. Do you have that assurance today? Are you comforted? content with God, even when life is hard, even when days are dark. If you want to be fearing no evil, if you want to be assured by God that you are His sheep, look to the Good Shepherd. Come to God. Trust in Jesus Christ, and then follow Him closely as He leads you. David goes on to say something amazing in verse 5. He has been talking about shepherd, a sheep and a shepherd, and that relationship. And now it kind of changes. Verse 5, he says, "Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What does that mean? What does it mean for us today? Well, the theme in this part of the psalm is the theme is God's care and protection from danger for His sheep. And David, as one of God's beloved sheep, did not fear because even when his enemies were surrounding him in times of great danger, he knew that God would provide. Instead of being paralyzed with fear, worrying, what's going to happen, it's as if he could sit down and enjoy a meal that God had prepared for him. David knew his shepherd. He knew he could trust him. He says, "You anoint my head with oil." Sounds strange to us today. Sounds strange to me. We don't do that. Anoint my head with oil. What's that all about? In Bible times, especially in the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament, anointing someone, to anoint means to put on. They would pour oil on someone's head, not as a prank, okay? But they would, usually olive oil. They would put oil on someone's head to show that God had chosen this person for that God had chosen this person as His own, but also for a special purpose. God had chosen this person and set them aside, anointed them to use them for His glory and to bless them. We see God's instruction to Moses when the nation of Israel came out and into the promised land. Aaron, his brother, was to be the high priest. Moses was instructed by God to take the anointing oil, pour it on the head of Aaron, and to show that God had chosen him to be the high priest. God was going to use him as high priest to bless His people, Israel. In David's own lifetime, it was Samuel, the prophet Samuel. The Lord sent him, first of all, to anoint Saul to be the next king of Israel. He poured oil on his head and announced, "Your king, whom God has chosen, you asked for a king, this is who God is giving you." And everyone, by seeing that act, knew that the Lord had chosen him to be a king and had set him apart as a king. And then later, Samuel did the same thing with David, anointed him with oil as the Lord chose him. And David says, "You anoint my head with oil," saying, "God, I recognize that you have chosen me to bless me, to use me for your glory." Has the Lord God anointed your head with oil? Not literally, but figuratively, symbolically. I can say with confidence that if you are here today and you are a child of God, you're born again, you're saved, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, then God has anointed you. He has chosen you to become His child, His sheep. He wants to bless you in your life. He wants to use you to be a blessing and help to others that are seeking the Savior, seeking the Good Shepherd. "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Because you, Lord, have anointed my head with oil, because you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, my cup overflows. I think we know what it means to have an overflowing cup. A cup overflows with blessings. You, today, if you belong to God, you've been blessed by God. You've received eternal life. Your sins have been forgiven. You have been changed from an enemy of God to a child of God. You have received the Holy Spirit of God to guide you, to live in you, and to guide you through life. You have the Word of God to teach you every day. You have the family of God to bless you and to encourage you, the church. You can go to God anytime, directly, tell Him anything you want, and you know that He hears you and He answers your prayers. Your cup overflows. Today, what has God given you if you are His child? He's given you grace. He's given you mercy, salvation, provision, peace, joy, light. Your cup overflows. My cup overflows. God is a good God, a gracious God, a loving God. He is forever to be praised, as the song said again, every day you have been faithful. Every day you've been so, so good. Every sheep, every true sheep of God should be able to proclaim that. God, you have been so, so good. Is your cup overflowing today? You might say, well, it doesn't feel like it. You know, there's a good verse in the Bible that tells us, it says, draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Sometimes God feels far away because we've never come near to the Lord. We've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation. I said earlier that this is a song that David wrote of contentment and assurance. And man, do we see that in the last verse. Verse 6, David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness, the goodness of God and the mercy of God will follow me all the days of my life. And I can say from what I've read in the Bible, I can say with all confidence that David went through more danger and more distressing times in his life. He went through the valley of the shadow of death more times than any of us have ever faced. Yet he could say, surely, goodness and mercy from the Lord will follow me all the days of my life. Why could he say that? Because he knew he was one of God's sheep. He belonged to God. He knew God, and more importantly, God knew him. Therefore, David was assured, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Never cast out, never forsaken, never abandoned. The door to God was never closed. Now, he says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That didn't mean that David was going to live in the temple or in the church building for the rest of his life. But he's saying here that forever, throughout all of my life, all of my days on earth, and throughout all of eternity, I will live with God as a sheep of the great shepherd, a child of God. David was assured, and that sure assurance and confidence did not come from his own ability to be a good person, his own ability to obey the laws of God. His confidence came from knowing who God is and what God has promised. All who will come to me, Jesus says, all who come to me, I will never cast out. David came to the Lord, gave him his life. He confessed his sin. He trusted him. And he was able to write this song, which was his testimony of what the Lord had done for him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall live in the house of the Lord forever. I'm safe. I'm saved. I'm secure. I'm blessed. I need not worry. I need not fear. I have assurance of who my God is and that God has made me his child. Assurance from God himself. Today, do you have that assurance? Can you say, I know that the Lord is my shepherd? because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I've turned to God. I've repented. I've stopped living for me. I've stopped living for the world. I've stopped living for my own desires. And I've decided I'm going to live for God. I want God to be my God. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm condemned because of my sins. I'm facing hell. But I know that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, obeying the law. He died on the cross. He gave himself for me. He shed his blood that if I trust in him, he will forgive my sin. He'll wash my sins away. He'll make me a child of God. Do you have that assurance today? And I would say, if you do not have that assurance today, don't leave without it. Because none of us knows the number of our days. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. If you hear the Spirit speaking, do not turn away. Do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Our Father in heaven, I thank you that you have enabled King David to write this psalm of his love for you because of your great love for him. He's testifying to your goodness, grace. And Lord, I wish that every person on earth could know this, could experience this, could rest in you. And yet, Lord, there are many who have never come to you to become your sheep. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would lead them to do that today, to confess their need of salvation, their need of a Savior. Lord, give them the faith to believe that Jesus Christ died for them and rose again and lives today, offering forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. Lord, may your Holy Spirit deal with us and not let us rest until we come to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.